We are going to get in a position to get started. By way of announcement, all we got to do is talk about a few little things. I guess the first thing is that it's family week this week. Yeah. Hallelujah. And so we want you to do your best to spend some time with the fam this week and love on them, eat with them, take them out. Amen. Just build that family unit as strong as you can. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let me see what else. This Saturday is the golf tournament. Amen. Come on, give God some glory for that. Hallelujah. It starts at 1 p.m. It's at Squirrel Run. And so we want everybody to come out and help us out. Amen. And what you really need to do is pray for my golf game. Just pray for my golf game. Lord, bless him. Amen. Hallelujah. Make the ball go straight, God. Hallelujah. Let me see what else we got going on. Revive Soul, amen. The concert, amen. Hallelujah. Phil, that's November what? November 11th, amen. And so tickets on sale and everything right now. And you can just kind of get with Minister Phil, amen, or maybe out in the foyer, amen. And you can go ahead and purchase your seat and everything like that. It's definitely going to be below the cost that it's worth, amen. Hallelujah. And so you want to come and be blessed by all of these worship musicians and ministers. Amen. Come on, give God some glory for that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. My love, any other announcements? Anything else? All right. Who's ready for the word of God? Anybody ready for the word? Hallelujah. All right. Well, let's start reading. We'll start at 2 Samuel 13 in verse 7. I'm just going to read on kind of through and see where we can get to for tonight, and then we'll shut it down. The Bible says in verse 7, "Then David sent home to Tamar, saying, Go now to thy brother Amnon's house and dress him meat. So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was laid down, and she took flour and kneaded it and made cakes in his sight and did bake the cakes. And she took a pan and poured them out before him, but he refused to eat. And Amnon said, Have out all men from me. And they went out, every man from him. And Amnon said unto Tamar, Bring the meat into the chamber, that I may eat of thine hand. And Tamar took the cakes which she had made, and brought them into the chamber to Amnon her brother. And when she had brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of her, and said unto her, Come lie with me, my sister. And she answered him, Nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this folly. And I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? As for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee. Howbeit, he would not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than she, he forced her and lay with her." Father, we do come to your word, Lord God. Hallelujah. Just asking your help tonight. We pray, Father God, that as we see the truthfulness of your word, that your word doesn't try to hide anything from us, but it shows mankind for what man is, and that's a sinner, Lord God. But Lord, these things which were written beforehand were written for our benefit. They were written for our good. Help us to learn from these things, oh God, so we won't be like Amnon, and so we can keep the people around us from being like Tamar. God, help us, oh God. And give us wisdom beyond our years, beyond this earthly plane. Show us what is. Show us what was. And show us what is to come. But the Bible says you never do anything without letting your prophets know. Let your people listen good, God. Let your singles listen good, God. Let your young people listen good, God. Let your parents listen good, God. Let the grandparents listen good, God. Because in this word is a warning, Lord God, to reveal the tactics of the devil in the days to come, God. Help us not sit here and be mere hearers of the word, God. But help us to know that in every word, there is a warning, a decree, an edict from heaven to help us live on earth. So bless us now, our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, give God some glory. Hallelujah. Well, saints of God, listen, we've been talking about how, amen, Amnon, he lusted after his own sister, Tamar. And we saw that this sister was a half-sister, But nonetheless, amen, she was his blood relative. The Bible says that he could not do anything unto her. And the reason was because in biblical times, amen, they watched their children a lot better than we watch ours today. Amen. They didn't allow, especially the young ladies, to be in the presence of any male person. Amen. Whether it was a family member, a friend, a boy their age. Amen. They didn't really get down like that. And they didn't get down like that because they didn't want to place any confidence in the flesh. They didn't want to give place to the devil. You see what I'm saying? They were not ignorant of the devices of Satan. Amen. And I'm going to show you here in a second, because of TV and social media, we have let down our boundaries and let down our guards. And we allow our daughters in today's world, even our sons, to go anywhere, to be with anybody. And that's why we have the statistic rate of sexual abuse that we have going on today. Listen to me good. Hebrews especially. We're going to rid this thing out of our community. We're going to rid it out of our people. We're going to rid it out of this church. It's not going to happen here. And it don't have to happen. If we do things the biblical way, amen. And I know I'm talking to some daughters, amen, who done been harmed and harassed and abused already. You should make a solemn vow tonight that this thing did happen to me, but it will not go any further. It will not happen to my daughter. It will not happen to my son. And it will not happen to my grandchildren. We take a stand tonight against the devil ruining our seed. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Hallelujah. We talked about how we need to take better care of our girls, man, and of our boys. Because of the safety mechanisms in place, Amnon could do nothing to Tamar. But the Bible says, but Amnon had a friend who was more subtle than him, more snakish than him. And the friend came up with a plan, amen, on how Amnon can get his sister by herself. This friend's name was Jonadab. And we talked about him and how bad friends can ruin your life. We talked about what type of friend he was. How, amen, he was full of envy and selfish ambition, flattery. And how he concocted this plan for Amnon to not only spoil and ruin Tamar, but also to ruin his own life. Last week we talked about our kids, amen, and knowing our kids. Because if you remember, Amnon asked David to help him with the plan. He went to David innocently, but with an ulterior motive. And we said if David had just known his son, if he would have just spent some time with him, paid attention to his indiscretions, his propensities, amen, his predispositions, he would have known the strengths and the weaknesses of his son, and he would have never put Amnon in private with Tamar if he would have known his son. And we told you, amen, to do the best you can. Strive to know your children. Don't you come here playing like your children perfect. We are all born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Now, while your child's predisposition might not be like mine or my children, they do have one, amen. For after the fall, we were no longer created in the fullness of the image of God, but we were created in the image of a fallen man by the name of Adam. With sin, original sin, total depravity running through our veins. Your children need a savior. They need the cross. I didn't say it last time, but when you recognize your children are sinners, you want to get to know the ebbs and the flows of how the devil coming at them. All right? All right? Because you're going to be able to better shepherd them and help them. You see what I'm saying? And last time, I really wanted to, amen, put it on your heart. Because our children are sinners, amen, every opportunity you get, you want to share with them about the Savior. Every opportunity. Every opportunity. I'm talking about, listen, every night if you got to. Don't you know that almost every night, me and my children say the sinner's prayer? Don't you know we go over the gospel, amen, regularly? Don't you know, amen, that my kids, amen, listen, they know the God. Do your kids know the gospel like that? Do they know the fullness of the atonement of the cross? Have you gone over the gospel with them so much they can finish it for you? Listen to me. Listen to me. Know your kids. Shepherd them. And the first place you shepherd them is to a Savior. Come on, give God some glory. Oh, I'm feeling something tonight. All right? Listen, you got to give them that old rugged cross. Listen, tonight before y'all go to bed, and you pray with them tonight, you hold their hand and you say, Hallelujah, Mackenzie, Madison, repeat after me. And your kids going to be in their little PJs. They're going to be like, Lord, Lord. I admit, I'm a sinner. And sometimes you got to pay attention. Know them, shepherd them, and refuse to aid and abet our kids in their sinful escapades. David aided and abetted his child. He got Tamar there. When you know him, when you shepherd him, you're not going to aid and abet him. You're going to turn him away from sin. Come on, give God some glory. Hallelujah. Saints, listen, we got to get going tonight. And listen, I'm going to stop at a certain time. I'm not going to keep you too late, regardless of if I'm finished or not. We're just going to stop. Amen. We'll look at chapter 13, verses 7 through 13 tonight. And I want to talk about, the title of this message is Tamar Went. Somebody say that with me. Tamar Went. And we'll have 4 points tonight. If the Lord, hallelujah, slows down the time. If not, we're just going to have 3. But the first point is Tamar Went, as the title of the message. The second point is Have All Men Out. The third point is Lie With Me. And the fourth point, if we get to it, is Name My Brother, which is, it's a very special point. And so we'll see. We'll see. Hallelujah. First point, Tamar went. As we look at 2 Samuel 13, 7 and 8, the Bible says, Then David sent home to Tamar, saying, Go now to thy brother Amnon's house. Dress him meat. Cook something for him. So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house. Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house. And he was laid down. He was in the bed. So she took flour, kneaded it, made cakes in his sight, and did bake the cakes. I say to God, listen, right off the bat, I want to say something to you, and I pray to God that you listen to me good, okay? I want to say to you, amen, that this whole event and everything that went on, amen, is not Tamar's fault. Understand that. Tamar is not to blame in this situation. And I say that, amen, for the women of God who may be sitting here, who were abused, amen, in a similar fashion like Tamar. If the statistics of America is correct, amen, we got a large group of women in here who have experienced similar instances. And I just want to comfort you, amen. You are not to blame. All right? You are not to blame. Amen. If anybody is to blame in this story, amen, number one, it would be Amnon. Number two, it would be Jonadab for concocting the plan. And we would even put some blame on David, her father, amen, for not paying attention like he ought and raising his kids like he's commanded to. You see? So it wasn't Tamar's fault. Tamar's the victim in this story, saints. You see? Like countless other women, amen. And we're living in a day right now that I believe that this is a rhema word. You see all that's going on in the news about abuse of women right now? Whether it be on the college campus, amen, or we dealing with the election. And I'm not trying to pick sides because both parties have abuse of women in their camps. Amen? Amen? Do you see how it's just coming out today? We got a rhema word tonight, y'all. We got a rhema word tonight, y'all. You see what I'm saying? All right? Now listen to me. So Tamar's not to blame. The women of God in here who went through some tough things in the past, you're not to blame. Amen? However, there are some things that you can do as a victim to decrease the likelihood of something like this happening to you the first time or happening again. And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit tonight. Just some things that we can do to make it, hallelujah, less likely that sexual abuse will take place. And we can listen, amen, as women and the men these days have to listen too. All right? Parents have to focus in. All right? I hope that our youth are with us tonight, because listen to me, this is going to save you a lot of heartache and a lot of pain, a lot of trauma, if you just follow along tonight with what we're talking about. We're going to give you some steps, some principles, how you can decrease the likelihood of this happening. The Bible says that Tamar went. Amen. David commanded her to go to Amnon, and David went. Then Tamar went. And the revelation that God gave me right off the bat was this. If Tamar knew that Amnon was full of lust, if she had an inclination that he was after her in an unbiblical way, hallelujah, Tamar should have did two things. And I'm not blaming her. She's the victim. But we're just talking about, amen, things that we can do to prevent. We're talking about preventative actions. Are you listening here tonight? Preventative actions. All right? The first thing Tamar should have done, amen, was tell her daddy. Tell her daddy. Daddy commanded her to go, and David said, go. At that moment, if she suspected anything, any foul play, any lust in Amnon, any, hallelujah, any unbiblical advances towards her, as soon as her daddy asked her to go, she should have said, daddy, I don't feel comfortable going. Oh, anybody hearing me up in here? Daddy, I don't think it's safe for me to go over there. You see? Them kids, Jonadab and Amnon, they doing some bad things. They talking about stuff I'm not comfortable with. And they trying things that I know neither you nor God would approve. Young person, if you're listening, amen, young person, if your parent is dropping you off or putting you in a situation that you are uncomfortable with, because you feel pressure to do things that God would not want you to do things that your parents would not want you to do, you gotta say something, young person. You gotta say something. You gotta open your mouth and say something. Listen to me good. Listen to me. All right? 9 times out of 10, your mama and daddy wouldn't put you in that situation if they knew what was going on. And when they find out, amen, you will never have to go there again. But if you don't say nothing, they can't help you. Hey, God, come on, somebody. All right? And listen, touching ain't got to even happen just yet. Sometimes you can discern when it's about to start. Woo! I wonder if Tamar, amen, it just didn't bust out with rape. No. She saw him and he might have made an advance at her. He might have asked her, come on inside and talk with me. It's little signs that God will give. God will never do anything without letting his prophets know. When you learn how to read the signs and your parents unknowingly putting you in harm's way, you say something. You say something. Listen to me. If Tamar would have said, I'm not blaming her. I'm talking about preventative action. If Tamar would have said something, amen, we would have not been in this situation, hallelujah, that we got in. Now, parents, here's something for you. Your child may not be too quick to say something, so you're going to have to start the dialogue. All right? After you drop your kids off, or after they've been with an adult other than their parents, you always want to ask your children what went on while you were gone. You always want to ask them. You know what I'm saying? And some people talk about our kids. Oh, they tell y'all everything. Yeah, they tell us everything because we ask them everything. Okay, we drop y'all at 4:30. What did y'all do from 4:30 to 4:45? You understand me? We need to know what's going on. Because if you ask the right questions, your kid's going to give you the right answers. Amen. If you ask the questions, hey, God is going to give you a hint of what's really going on there. Oh, I'm trying to preach right here. Listen, I'm trying to save a generation right here. I'm trying to stop them from being in a situation that you was in. And if you had a preacher like this preaching to your parent, you'd be shouting a little more than you shouting right now. You'd be shouting a little more. Listen to me now. Parents, you got to ask them now. How you feel about going such and such? Do you like to go there? What goes on when I leave? You see? How was it? You see? You just got to ask some questions. You see? You see? You just got to ask some questions. Let me give you the second revelation that God gave me with this. Tamar went. You see? The second revelation is that if Tamar would have told David she felt uncomfortable, and David would have still said to go, all right? You know what that would have gave Tamar the right to do? Listen to me now. We obey our parents, but we obey them after God. All right? Watch me now. Watch me now. I would never tell a child to disobey their parents. But if you tell your mama and daddy that they bringing you in harm's way and they don't do anything about it, and they about to bring you to a place where sin is going to take place, you have the right biblically to look at your mom and daddy and say, I will obey God rather than man. I'm not going over that. I'm not unbuckling myself. You're going to have to carry me into this place because this man is doing me wrong. I am not going. If you drop me, I'm going to leave walking. You see, because sometimes parents get caught up in themselves. They're a little selfish. They're worried more about where they're going than where they're stopping to drop off their kids. And so they got a little man that's waiting for them. Hey, at a little party or a little hotel, and they're going to bring you anywhere, drop you anyway. Young person, you got to let them know. You got to let them know, and you got to let them know, listen to me. Let them know to their face. All right? Let them know to their face. And if they continue in that action, amen, you refuse to go. All right? After you tell them, oh, I'm about to listen, I'm putting it all on the line. I'm putting it all on the line. Young people, listen. After you tell them and they won't listen, you come and you tell somebody else. All right? And I'm giving you permission. You can come and tell your pastor. Amen? Come and tell your pastor. Stop by and say, Pastor, mama ain't all that like she play in church. Because about 11 o'clock, she dropping me here while she trying to get to Miami Moon. They drinking over here. They smoking dope over here. Young man trying to touch me. I told mama. But mama said she liked to dance. While the devil dancing with us over here. You come tell pastor. You come tell first lady. Listen to me. If you're in a blended family, you go and you tell your other parent. Because I'm sure your daddy don't know what's going on. I'm sure your mama don't know what's going on. You got to tell somebody. All right? If pastor and first lady, hallelujah, can't get to us, you need to tell our youth leaders, our 12 leaders, amen. You need to tell, hallelujah, Miss Michelle that's working at the desk, amen. You just got to get in touch with somebody. Call your teacher at school if you got to. Holler at a law enforcement officer if you got to. Meet my brother in the mall, walking, talking. Tell somebody. Just don't sit there and let somebody take advantage of you. Regardless of what mama and daddy do. All right? We're not going to let them ruin you like that. We fighting for a generation here. We fighting for our people here. Reason we so messed up because they let us get messed up. But we won't let the next one get messed up. Not on our watch, saints. Listen to me. That's the second revelation. You see, if Tamar would have said something, if she would have refused to go, if she would have told somebody else something, maybe her mom or one of the prophets or somebody. You see, not that it's her fault. It's not her fault. But maybe she didn't have the tools that I'm giving you tonight. She didn't know that she could tell somebody. She didn't know that she can refuse. But tonight, young people, know that you can. Because it's better to obey God than to obey man. Come on, give God some glory. Give him some glory. All right? I'm feeling in the heavens that some women of God saying, I wish I would have known. You see? Here's our second point of the night. Amen. Have all men out. In 2 Samuel 13, verse 9, amen, the Bible says that Tamar, like an obedient child, so good. Remember, she was David's best child. You see? She goes in there in verse 9. She took the pan. She poured them out before him. Hallelujah. Homegirl is cooking. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what she's doing, baking, smothering, but you let your imagination run wild. But whatever she's doing, okra, hallelujah, crawfish etouffee, it's smelling good up there. She's stanking it up. She getting it, amen? Hallelujah, she want to obey her daddy to the team, amen? So she cooking, man. Hallelujah, she put it before him, but he refused to eat. And Amnon said, have out all men from me. And they went out every man from him. And Amnon said unto Tamar, bring the meat into the chamber, that I may eat of thy hand. And Tamar took the cakes which she had made and brought them where? Into the chamber to Amnon, her brother. So Tamar does what she's supposed to do. But in verse 9, Amnon tells everybody to get out the house. He tells everybody to get out. All right? Because he has a plan of action that he want to, hallelujah, partake in. Hallelujah, with no witnesses. So all the servants, all the chaperones, all the friends, all the maids, amen, he put them all out. Now listen, this is not Tamar's fault. But let me give you the game. So this will never happen to you or your children. Hallelujah. And for our ladies who've been through a traumatic experience, so it won't happen to you again. The Bible says, be gentle as a dove, but be wise as a serpent. All right? You ever saw when you box a snake in, or when you uncover a snake, what a snake do? I'm out of here. Holla. Hasta la vega. So what I'm saying is, when Amnon put everybody out, guess who should have got out too? She should have taken her black pots, amen, her Magna lights, amen, her pans and everything else. Amnon would have been, where you going? What you mean where I'm going? Everybody getting out. And if everybody out, I can't be in. I got to get to stepping. All right? He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church tonight. Don't you ever be alone with a man, young person, that's not your daddy. Don't you ever be alone with a man that's not your daddy. Young person, listen to me. In these days, for our college girls, don't you try to be alone with a young man. Yeah. You don't know how much they raping these college girls? How they abusing them and taking advantage of them on this campus? Listen. Is not the way it was in our parents' day. Wicked men are waxing worse and worse. It's Sodom and Gomorrah out there. If you don't give it, they're going to take it. Don't put yourself in a situation, you see, where they can. Listen, don't be alone with them. You see? Listen to me. I say don't be alone with a man that's not your daddy. And I mean that. All right? I mean that. You say, but Pastor, wait. They got some good stepdaddies out there. I understand that. But we have some situations that's so egregious that sometimes the good have to suffer for the bad because things are just so messed up out there. All right? We got a situation where 1 in 5 of our women are being sexually assaulted. The New York Times put this out. Now, if it's 1 in 5 that's being reported, what do you think the real number is? It's probably more like 3 out of 5. Meaning that if you put if you call 5 women out of the audience and stood them up, 3 out of them would have been abused. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Listen to me. You can't be alone with no man like that. You can't be alone with no boy like that. And the people that's doing these things to our women, and I'm putting the men in here too. Don't leave your little boys with men either. The people that's doing stuff like that are family members. Family members. I'm talking about uncles, stepdaddies. You know, that's the type of stuff that's going on. Now, a stepdaddy in here shouldn't have no problem with me saying what I'm saying. If you don't have ill intent, you should look and say, I don't want to be alone with him anyway. If you don't have no ill intent, and I know a bunch of them that's just great. I'm looking at them right now, great. I trust them. I trust them to no end. But to avoid all appearance of evil. To give no place to the devil. You see? Well, the reason is because them, you see, like a step, that's not your child. That's not your child. Now listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. Good now. We done counsel blended families. We go eat with blended families. We show up at their house. Now, they got a stepdaddy in there. He in his 30s. All right? Mama got an older daughter. That's not for him. Now, she's 16, 17 years old. Ain't got no blood of that man in her. Oh, anybody listening with me? Tell me up here. Come on, just follow me close. Follow me close. Now, mama don't have the wherewithal to make that young lady put on some good clothes. So that man in his house with a young woman that's not his daughter, and she walking around there with everything but good clothes on, biking tight, don't exercise at all. Just, you know what I'm saying? Shirt, little shirt, everything like that. My job is to expose the unfruitful works of darkness. They got a blended family in here thinking about that, and she like, wait. That is how my little girl walk around. That's not wisdom. But my new husband is a good man. I done had the luxury of cross-examining people who engage in such activity. I done been in counseling sessions with them. And one thing that I found out about somebody who's a pedophile or commit incest or go after young boys or young girls, you can't tell by looking at them. See, somebody know what I'm talking about. You can't tell. Really and truly, before you find out that they operate like that, you like, they are the nicest people in the world. I remember I met one, and I came back, I told my wife, I said, man, this guy is terrific. He saved me on fire for the Lord. You know, and look, listen, I think I have discernment. And when it came out. So what I'm saying is, don't be no fool. And don't be thinking you know somebody and that they would never do something. You don't know the devil, dog. You don't know the flesh. You don't know the world. Listen. You know how many people I could bring up here that can tell you my mama trusted him? I'm going to keep moving. Parents, listen, parents. Listen, teach your kids to be uncomfortable being alone with a man or a boy. Teach them to be uncomfortable. Like if they find themselves in a room like Tamar with Amnon, something don't feel right on the inside. Where did everybody go? It's just us in here? Well, look, I'm going to holler at you because some man write about this. Let me tell you something. You know, that's how it was in Jesus' day. You know, when you read closely about his encounter with the woman at the well, you know, in chapter 4, around verse 27, the disciples, they come, and the Bible says they marveled how he was talking to this woman. They couldn't understand it. And us, we read this, and we just keep going. Like it don't mean that. No, no, no. Stop, Selah. Why did they marvel that he was talking to this woman? And it had various different reasons, her being a Samaritan, stuff like that. But also, the gender boundary. Because back in that day, men and women didn't get down like that. You didn't walk up and see them talking by they lonesome like that. Especially Hebrews. Because we know what's in our blood. We know how much testosterone we got. We know how fast and how high we jump. So we don't put ourselves in that situation. Now listen to me. I watch some of y'all around, yeah. You know? And y'all not putting up boundaries like y'all should. Y'all won't conversate alone too much. Y'all won't clown a little too much. That woman not your wife. That man not your husband. Listen to me now. Listen to me. Listen to me. And some associations began to build. I walk in here, I pass by, amen. Now it don't happen no more, but I see you in his car here. Man, I'm gonna get down me. And you know we got cameras all over the place. And so I flow through the camera. And I ain't never saw nothing. That dude crazy, huh, Crystal. That dude crazy. No, Crystal, think about it now. Think about it. I'm trying to protect you and yours. All right? Even a message like this, I'm trying to protect you and yours. If we can keep that out of our church. You see what I'm saying? I'm not saying we don't love each other. No, we love each other. We love each other. You know what I'm saying? But boundaries. And we teach our kids the same boundaries. They don't be alone. They don't be conversating too much. Hallelujah with a man or stuff like that. You know? Boundaries. It keep everybody safe. It keep everybody healthy. Let me tell you what done happened to the Hebrews. Can we just conversate for a little bit? All right. What has happened to the Hebrews and to Christians, all Christians, we have been in TV land too much. Because in TV land, men and women associate freely regardless of their marital status. They be at each other's house. They drive in the same cars. They be eating out together and stuff like that. And in TV land, the man's friend is at the house. His wife is in the kitchen cooking up something nice. Fire and Ho Chi Minh and all kind of stuff. Because, you know, she's a cuisinier. She's a chef. It's TV land. Wearing some skimpy clothing. And all of a sudden, the husband says, I got to run out the house. Larry, could you just make sure my wife doesn't need anything while I'm gone? Yeah, you don't think I'm clowning or not? Yeah, that's TV land. And y'all been living in TV land. Hebrews don't roll like that. Let me give you another one. We've been on social media land. where everybody is our friend. Where that girl my friend, but she sure ain't my wife friend. Or that dude my friend, but he ain't my husband friend. He denying my husband. Nope. 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 But he done friend my wife. Pastor, I thought you were talking about our children. Why are we here? Why are we here? All right, all right. Listen, it's how far you want to take this thing. It's how blameless you want to be. It's how high you want the boundaries to be. Because if you set them high enough, amen, you can have good relationships with people outside. They can love you. You can love them. But it's an unfeigned love, like the Bible says. It's a holy love. You know? It's a, I'm down with you. You down with me. But ain't no down low going on. All right? All right? All right? So in verse 10, let's keep going, y'all. Y'all taking some time tonight. In verse 10, Amnon takes it to the next level. Not only does he put everybody out the house, but he said, come on in the bedroom. That's what Amnon said. He said, Pastor, I never saw no bedroom in the text. Look at that in NLT. Then he said to Tamar, now bring the food into my... Now, come on now, y'all. Bring it to my bedroom and do what with the food? And feed it to... Y'all, I'm not saying it's Tamar's fault, no. But it was some things she could have done to prevent it. All right? All right? Y'all still awake right here? All right. Y'all, what I see here is that Tamar is green. Somebody say green.
Green.
Y'all know what that means?
Yes.
All right. She's naive. Gullible. You see? Not street smart. No common. Yeah, I'm just saying. Beautiful, beautiful person, everything like that. But she kind of green. All right? All right. Misha, you laughing, Misha. All right, all right. Now, listen to me. We don't want our children green. All right? We don't want our children naive and gullible. We don't want them to be so in the Bible and in church and in heaven that they get over on them on earth. Now, I kind of misspoke here when I say the Bible, because I'm about to show you that the Bible don't want us to be green either. All right? But you know what I'm saying? We don't want our children, amen, what they say, feel so heavenly minded. They know earthly good. I don't use that too much, but in this context, I am going to use it. You don't want your kids walking around like we are in, you know what I'm saying, heaven already. Like there's no bad people out there. They living in an episode of the Brady Bunch, of the Smurfs without Gargamel. La, 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 la. They just, you see what I'm saying? And that's how naive Tamar was. Now, let me show you something. Parents err one or another way in an attempt, all right, to solve this, all right? First thing parents do, amen, they give them all the world. They baptize them in the world. You see? And when you ask them, what are you doing? They say, well, I don't want them to be green. I want to expose the tongue and let them make their own decisions. Feel like somebody just said that in here. All right? So what they do is they let them watch anything they want on the TV. They put them in the worst public schools, the labs of Lucifer. They, hallelujah, allow them to talk on the phone, to chat, to do social media. They don't have no filters on the internet. They just let them, amen, they just turn the faucet of the world on, the cesspool, the toilet water of the world. They just turn it all the way on with no filter and put their child mouth under it. And that's their attempt to save their child from being green or naive. When you operate with a skewed view of the world like that, your child will not be green. Hey, God. But they're going to be on their way to hell right fast, right quick, and they're going to bust hell wide open. You understand what I'm saying? Because what you have done then is given them a belly full of the world. And once they got a belly full of the world, they're going to have an appetite for the world. And once somebody got an appetite for the world, it's hard to feed them anything else once they got an appetite for the world. Hey, God have mercy. You see, they got some things you eat that's addictive, that's not good for you. Hey, they put certain chemicals in it, MSGs and other things like that. Did I say that right, Miss Crystal? Hey, and when you start eating it, amen, you seem like you want French fries every day. Big Mac every day. Because you have built up an appetite for it. We don't try to stop our kids from being green by filling them with a belly full of the world. Because when we try to bring them the Bible and the things of God, that don't taste like the MSGs they used to. You see? The second way we err is the exact opposite. And I kind of talked about it already. We don't give them the world. We shield our kids from the world. So much is too much. The kids think the world is a wonderful place. No sin, no bad people. No one will try to take advantage of them. No one will try to sexually assault or rape them. And they end up like Tamar, in a room with a boy in a house by themselves and can't see the wicked inclinations and intentions coming. So, Pastor, what's the answer? I think a middle approach is best. All right? What does that look like? Well, you ain't got to put them in the world to know the world. You ain't got to throw them in the worst schools for them to know. You ain't got to let them Facebook and go to all of these apps and do all these pictures. And you ain't got to let them do all that to know the world. You see, the Bible teaches us that wisdom is gained two ways. Wisdom can be gained through experience. All right, which a lot of us, Brother Tony, we have gained wisdom through experience. We have learned in what they call the school of hard knocks. We learn by hitting our head. We learn by doing the drug, drinking a drink. We learn by messing up some things. Anybody hear me up in there? All right? But the good news for our children is that that's not the only way to learn wisdom. All right? All right? When Solomon begins the book of Proverbs, he says, my son of my womb, my son, hearken unto me. Listen, keep my commandments close to you. They're going to be life to you. They're going to be help to you. Hey, they're going to keep you from the strange woman. They're going to keep you from men. That's going to lead you down. Listen, if you listen to what I'm saying, you're going to get wisdom by it. You can get wisdom by hitting your head or wisdom by filling your head. Woo! All right, all right. So as we look at Tamar and her being so green, what would have solved this? Daddy or mama coming in and explaining to Tamar, amen, how people in the world operate. Have, give them the game, baby. You know you've been around. They don't have to be around when you done been around. Daddy done been around the block a few times. You ain't got to go around the block. I can show you where VZ at and Big A at and Truman at. I can show you what go down in Truman. I can tell you what it's like to hustle and do. I can tell y'all you ain't got to do those things. I can tell you a lot of Christians scatter their testimony and don't want to share their testimony with their children. Scared to tell their children what they used to do. Amen. when that testimony, we overcome the adversary, the enemy. We overcame Satan. Hey, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. No, 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 no. You don't be ashamed of that. You tell them where you used to go and what you used to do so that they can learn wisdom. Hey, not by repeating the same thing, but just by recollecting and remembering what my daddy used to do and how that didn't work out for him. Listen to me. Your children don't have to be green. You see? Now, it's going to be upon you to determine the age appropriateness of the information. You don't want them 2 years old when you talk about things that used to go on and you won't do all that. All right? But this is what we tell our kid. We say, look, you know, if you won't know about anything, all right, you come and ask us. You come and talk to us and ask us, because listen to me, mom and daddy know some things that you don't know quite yet. You see, because if you don't teach them, they're going to learn it from someplace else. Oh, man. Deli, I'm trying, Deli. I'm trying hard up in here, man. Don't be ashamed of your testimony. Tell them. And young kids, ask them. A lot of the same things the devil tempting you with and trying to get you to do, daddy done been there and done that. And if your brother Doug, son or daughter, daddy done been there, done that, bought the shirt. You understand what I'm talking about? Listen now. Minister Phil as well. Brother Carl as well. Brother Hat. All right, let's keep going. Listen. So don't let them be green. Listen, if David would have took the time, you see, if Tamar's mama would have took the time, as soon as everybody left the house and that little boy would have said, come and feed me in the bedroom, Tamar then, boy, you crazy, boy. She'd have put that Hebrew on, boy. What is wrong with you, boy, in the room? What I look like? All right? Yeah. And I took that back what I said earlier about our head, like, just in the Bible. Because the Bible itself doesn't want us to be green. You see, the Bible exposes the works of darkness. God tells us things that's going on in the world. He tells us, he said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Because everything that's in the world, and he tells us, he says, it's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And we can just turn to Galatians and say, Father, what is the lust of the flesh? And he'll tell us adultery. He'll tell us fornication. He'll tell us lasciviousness. He'll tell us homosexuality. So God don't try to hide the shadows, the back alleys of the world from his people, no. And any student of the Bible, amen, won't really be green, no. You know? Because the Bible says we can't be ignorant of the devil's devices. Woo! All right. Let's move on to our third and our final point. We're going to stop on point three, my love. Hallelujah. We're getting close to that time. So if Tamar wasn't green, she would have known what Amnon was trying to do. Third point, lie with me. Boy, that's something else, huh? Y'all still up out there? Y'all all right? All right. In 2 Samuel 13:11, the Bible says, and when she had brought them unto him, she went in the room to eat. He took hold of her and said unto her, come, lie with me, my sister. Boy, that's a sentence that should never be said. That's a sentence that should never be said. Amnon is asking Tamar. He's asking her to sin against God. He's saying, come on, let's fornicate. Let's have intimacy outside of marriage. Let's commit incest against the laws of our God stated in the Torah and the Pentateuch and the book of Leviticus. Lie with me, my sister, and let's sin against our God, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who puts breath in our body, who has our hearts beating right now, let's sin against our God. Young people, listen to me. Single people, listen to me. Unmarried, widowed, or divorced, listen to me good. People will tempt you like this to sin against your God. They will tell you, come lie with me. Come lie with me. And if they're a Christian, they're going to put on that, come lie with me, my sister. Come lie with me, my brother. Something should not be said. You see? And like Amnon, they will try to tempt you under the guise, the disguise of love. You see? Who I'm talking to today? A young lady or a young man being tempted to fornicate. Pastor, what's fornication? You being intimate with your body in a sexual nature with somebody who is not your husband and not your wife. Being tempted to move in, to shack up. You see? And there's somebody in here. Amen. And you think it's all right because y'all love one another. First question I have is, who do you love more? Do you love that man more? Or do you love God more? Do you love that woman more? Or do you love God more? I says, don't put nobody before me. But just like this, y'all. What Amnon is doing is not love. And with that young man on that college campus, on that high school campus, in these days and even middle school, is trying to get you to do is not love either. You see, love never pulls someone into sin. That's not love. That's not love. Now, it could be something else, infatuation or lust, and that happens because of physical attraction, but don't ever get it twisted. It's not love. You see, when you love somebody, you don't want to hurt them. And sin hurts. Because the wages of sin is death. And so when you love somebody, you don't want to sin with them. Because you don't want death to be worked out in their lives. All right? And we're going to see next time, amen, that Tamar puts the case straight to Amnon's face. You're not worried about nobody but yourself because you sure ain't worried about me. You're going to do this thing with me and you're not worried about nothing. Whether I get pregnant, you're not worried about that. Whether I'm a single parent, you're not worried about that. Whether anybody marry me because of this act that we've done, you're not worried about that. You're not worried about if I'm locked up in some convent somewhere. You're not worried about that. You're not worried if we catch some STD. You're not worried about that. This is not love, my friends. Oh, you're worried about it yourself and the feeling you're going to get. That ain't love. That's lust. That's lust. Now listen to me. Oh, man, can we just go? All right. Women, let me give you some game here. All right? God bless you. Men will pretend love. To get. All right. Women will give to get love. Is all they want. But woman of God, when you give that, outside of the marriage bond, he just pretending love to get you doing to get, but you're not going to get love. I'm trying, babe. I'm trying. So you don't give them that. until they really give you love. And when they really give you love, when they really give you love, when they really give you love, they get down on one knee. You understand what I'm saying? They take a hand. That's when they really give you love. They give you love. And then you go, you say, hallelujah. You say, brother, it's on now. Yeah. But, look. Ooh, them single guys don't like what I'm saying. No. They're going to leave it. They're going to say, I don't want to come here no more. I don't really like this place. I don't know if it's the paint on the walls, if the lighting just make me a little dizzy. Hey, there, that. I just gave up the game. All right? Woo! Look at 1 Corinthians 13, 4, and 8. Let's just look at it. And we're going to go. But look at 13, 4, and 8. It says, love is patient, meaning that it's going to wait. Love waits. It waits until marriage. It waits through, amen, the fiancé stage, amen. What you call that? Engagement. It waits through that. It long suffers. And that little man going to suffer, too. He going to suffer. But if he love you, let him wait. He going to wait. All right? Y'all don't know the authority y'all got. That man going to marry you if you do it right. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. You see? It does not dishonor others. So love is concerned with how it treats others. I'm not going to dishonor you. What Amnon does to Tamar, he completely dishonors her. You don't deserve to be in a situation like that. Not married, uncovered, forced. That's dishonor. That's belittling you, woman of God. That's treating you like you're common. When you're the daughter of a king. You are the daughter of a king. You deserve, amen, a proper procedure, amen, to get intimacy with you. You see? But a lot of our women don't know their worth. You see? It is not self-seeking. It's not selfish. You see? And so Amnon was just looking for a feeling. That's not love. It's not easily angered. And there's a young man here, amen, a young woman. The young man getting mad at you because you want to serve God and you want to keep yourself. Amen. That's not love to get mad at you for wanting to keep yourself for God. Love is not easily angered. Young man, you are out of line here. You have no need to get angry. Don't get angry. Get engaged. Then get married. Don't get angry. It's all on you. We could do it tonight after Bible study. Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today. There's no need to get mad. Get married. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil. Not how love operate. Love don't want to delight in evil. I'm going to pass by your house when nobody looking, nobody there. I'm going to come in while your parents sleeping. Now we going. But love rejoices with the truth. What does love do in verse 7? Young lady, listen good. Listen good, young lady. And there's a young man here. Being tempted with things that's not good. True love always protects. I'm going to watch over you, keep you, make sure you don't sin against your God. It always trusts. We know God got a plan for us. We might just have to wait for it. It always hopes there'll be better days that's coming. Sure, we can't be with each other like we want right now. But a day is going to come, we're going to be on our own house, with our own car, with our own kids, and our own bed. And hallelujah, mother-in-law won't be there following us around. And I'm just saying, but you know. I thought she was throwing something. But listen. Love never fails. You know the best way we know what love looks like? You know the best way we know how love operates? Young lady, young man, parent, listen, you want to know what love looks like so you could keep yourself for love and hold yourself for love? You want an illustration how love don't want you to sin? It'll never drag you into sin. But love will actually pull you out of sin. Woo! You see, the Bible says greater love had no man than this, than a man would lay down his life for his friends. The Bible says, but God demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ Jesus died for us, the ungodly. The Bible tells us, but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you want a picture of what love looks like, it's the very opposite of Amnon, that'll force somebody and drag them into sin. Nah, love lifts us up, friends. It lifts us up. 2,000 years ago on that cross, our Savior just did just that. He died for us. He died on that cross because he loves us. And tonight, if you're not saved, if you're still in sin and unsure about your eternal destination, listen, all you got to do is turn to our Savior. All you got to do is admit you're a sinner. Believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, that he died on the cross, that he was buried in the grave, and that on the third day he rose. And if you open your mouth and you confess him and you say, Lord, save me a sinner. The Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I know that there were many here convicted because of sexual immorality. Listen, I'm not trying to make an excuse and I'm not trying to tell you not to stop. No, you should stop. All right? You should stop and you should get it right with God. But I got another message for you. Even though you've sinned against God in this area, though your sins be red as scarlet, God will wash them white as snow. God will forgive you and save you tonight, amen, if you call upon him. Would you stand with me, please, as we close? Would you stand with me? Amen. We're going to pray tonight, and God's going to forgive us of some things. He's going to save some folk. I want you to say with me, say, Lord, my God. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I thank you for loving me. I admit I've sinned against you, and I'm sorry. But I believe that you love me so much, you died on the cross. You were buried in a grave, and on the third day, you rose with all power. I believe that. With all my heart, Lord, save me, a sinner. Cleanse me, wash me of all my iniquities. Use me for your glory and help me to live holy. Help me to stay pure. Use me, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God some glory. Come on, give him some glory. Give him some glory. Hallelujah. That wasn't too hard for none of y'all, huh? May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you. And he bless you with shalom, with peace. I pray your week this week be blessed. I pray the Lord fill you up with his Holy Ghost. I pray he give you so much wisdom. I pray you be an awesome child of God, young person. I pray he heal you up. And I pray that you, hallelujah, watch over what's yours and know how to parent. We pray all these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Love y'all. Be blessed.